So on the Duane Marrero podcast, this is your host, Duane Marrero. Joining me this morning is the head coach at Lake Station, Bob Burke. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
What you think about the highlights right there when you saw it?
Yeah, it gave me chills again. So it's, I love seeing the party like it's 1941. Kind of puts in perspective a little bit.
You won a sectionals, right? you lost by 3 to Bishop Noe. You know, last year, you know, I don't want to rave too much on the past, but if you could just speed the new followers up about the adversity you guys went through last year to lead you to guys playing back-to-back games, going through adversity. I believe you guys are 22-3, getting ready for regionals this weekend. How monumental was that win to win sectionals? Just elaborate on that.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, last year losing to Bishop Noe, we beat them in the regular season, and we were excited, thought maybe it was our year finally. And, you know, I think we got caught up a little bit in the not really sure what to do in that sectional championship. It had been a long time since we played in it. And so, you know, the whole idea when we lost was not let them forget about it. Remember the feeling? And then we hung up the Bishop Noe banner in the office, so every time they walked in to my office, they saw the Bishop Noe banner, and just as a reminder of, hey, let's not let it happen again. And so that was our driving force all summer and all year. And, you know, to finally kind of get over that hump this year in the sectional was amazing. Community support's been unbelievable. Kids really just, I don't think anybody could have beat them on Saturday night. It was one of those things. They just weren't going to let anybody take it away from them from the very beginning. Having River Forest, the big rival, in the morning, and they responded well in the second half of that game, and then, you know, coming out in the sectional championship was pretty special.
Since 1941, it's the last time you guys won.
Yeah, the only time, only basketball sectional in history until this year. So girls or boys, so it was. I think community was itching for something special.
Northwood, fill us in. What do you know about Northwood? Because I've never heard of Northwood, but I do know you guys play them this weekend at regionals.
Yeah, they're big. They're real tough. I think they're 24-2. I think I seen. We went and seen them Monday night, and you know, they go 6'8", 6'6", 6'5". I think their smallest guy is 6'1". So, you know, they definitely got the size advantage to our 5-guard offense that we play, but. In their experience, they got a lot of seniors. Brenner kid is, you know, he's averaging about 20, but they got 3 guys that can fill it up, and you know, so we're just trying to find ways to slow them down a little bit. You know, we've tried to find some teams in the region we can compare them to, bigs, you know, more purposeful offenses, and you know, we've looked at a little bit of film from those teams just to see different ways that we can try and speed them up and get them playing a different kind of style. We like to get up and down the floor, and so we're going to try and get them playing something that they don't want to play. So,
what was the message to your team start of the season, right? Because right now you guys are having a lot of success, but it takes a village, right? It takes more than one player being bought in to actually win a game, and everyone has to know their role. What was that message you continue to harp on from the beginning of the season and still now?
Is don't give up, you know, no matter what. It, you know, it's you tell these kids every day, you know, this summer we tried to play a really tough schedule this summer. I think we played 22 4A schools this summer, you know, during our tournament stuff in June. And, you know, it was like, hey, it's going to get tougher. It's going to get tougher. You got to learn how to play. And we just didn't want these guys to get frustrated with a loss or a bad game. And it had to be next man up. You know, we have four guys averaging double figures, and you know, we continually tell them, hey, one guy might not be able to score. It may not always be Willie Miller leading us in scoring. Somebody else is going to have to get 20. And, you know, and these guys, I think they saw that. They're going to pick up their teammate when they're having a bad or a bad shooting night and off night. And for the most part, we have. You know, we've had four guys score 20 points at one point or another during the season.
Wow.
So, you know, these guys really do a nice job. They're family. They're brothers. They fight like brothers, but they'll go to battle with their brother any day. So it's just been that, you know, keep it within our team and don't let it get outside of our team and keep working.
I remember we played Morgan Township, and we beat them. I mean, no, it was Blackhawk Christian, right? They had Russell Bird, who was going to Michigan State, and we were down. And that was before we got on the podcast I was telling you about. My freshman year, when I got those two techs, one was for smacking the backboard, and the other one was for hanging on the rim. And obviously that next game, we ended up losing, and we kept that same demeanor, like we knew how it felt to lose, right? So close. But we were down to Blackhawk Christian my sophomore year. We worked our way, we're top 25 in that 2010 era, and Blackhawk Christian had us on the ropes. We rallied back from a 10-point deficit in that second half. And anybody knows how hard it is to be from the region and be on the road, right, in postseason. We climbed our way back. We won. The community was happy. Everyone was emotional. And I saw Willie Miller get emotional once he won. What was that feeling like for him and you?
You know, it's been quite the ride with Willie. And, you know, for us to be able to hang on to him a couple of years ago when he was kind of kicking around some different ideas. And so I think all that stress and all that emotion, you know, was just built up, and he finally was able to say, hey, we finally did it. We finally accomplished that, you know, that sectional dream that we had set 4 years ago when Willie was a starter for me as a freshman. And, you know, it was a great moment for me to just to have that 5 seconds to kind of tell him what I wanted to tell him, in his ear, and you know, him to do the same to me. And you know, something special that I'm really happy the Post-Tribune got a nice
yeah, that was awesome,
a nice picture of it, because it's something that I know that I can hang on to for the rest of my life. But yeah, I think it was just that it was just finally we've accomplished what we started, you know, 4 years prior. And you know, just like I said, it's a really special moment for me to have with him at that time.
What do you appreciate most as a coach? Because so many people have opinions, right? Like, they tell you who to play, who to sub. You hear that every now and then if you don't, right? It's like that people always have their opinions. But as a coach, I always say that being a head coach is hard. And a lot of people don't know what it's like being a head coach till you're in that shoes. How do you just block out the noise and just kind of just be tunnel vision and be laser focused on your team?
You know, I rely a lot on my assistant coaches, you know, and I got young assistant coaches. Every one of my coaches, except for one, played for me.
Nice.
So they've all been through the you know, the ringer with me, and so I rely a lot on them just to make sure that, hey, you know, if just to keep it, you know, in that inner circle and make sure that I'm not doing something, because I know the guys that I have with me in my staff, on my staff, they're gonna call me on something if need be. And so it's always nice to be able to rely on that and say, hey, you know, we're doing this right. You know, this is what we should be doing. And so I think that's a big thing for me. It's always just been, it's a family thing. You know, I'm not a head coach. It feels like it's my way or no way. You know, I think every win should be, you know, go on my, you know, mine and my assistant coach's overall record, because without them, I couldn't get it done. So, you know, I put a lot on my assistant coaches. I love those guys. Couldn't be happier that they wanted to come back and continue to teach and learn from me and teach these guys, these younger group of guys. And so it makes a little bit more fun for me. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think that's probably the biggest part, is just you got to block out the parents. You got to block out the community sometimes. And, you know, I love them. I love the community. But, you know, they don't see what goes on in practice every day. And it's those coaches that see it. And those coaches are the ones that I gotta put all my trust in.
As a head coach, what games, is there a specific game you look forward to this past season? Right, because you guys have been having a lot of success, but were there a couple of games that you was like, I can't wait for that one specific game?
Yeah, we had a few. You know, I mean, obviously, we couldn't wait for the Knoll game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, hey, let's get back at Knoll, you know, and that's always been a big one for the last 6 years. We've played Bishop Knoll. They've been,
A buzzer beater. I believe you guys won on a buzzer beater.
Was this year? Yeah. Well, we hit a shot at the buzzer to overtime, and then I think we hit a bucket. We hit a bucket late, and then they missed a shot at the buzzer in overtime. And that you really, for the last 5 or 6 years, that's how that game has gone. It has been one possession either way every time we play them. And it's, you know, it's something we, until 5 or 6 years ago, we'd never beaten Bishop Knoll in the history of the school.
Breaking records.
Like 0-50-something against them. So, you know, that was a big deal when we finally did that, and to finally beat them in the you know, can be able to compete with them every single year has been pretty special. But so that was a big one for us. River Forest, always a big game. If you know the community, you know, River Lake Station.
That's like your neighbor.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're 3.4 miles apart. Kids, you know, it's one side of the streets, River Forest, one side of the streets, Lake Station. So, you know, but we looked at Munster was a big one for us. We wanted to play Munster and Portage and see where we were at. Munster, we kind of got our butts whooped last year a little bit, and, you know, I felt like this year at least we battled.
Yeah.
We battled, you know, we got down early. We were able to cut the lead to 5, I think, with a couple minutes to go. And
they're so disciplined.
Yeah, and, you know, it got away from us there the last couple minutes, but it showed that we can compete with the best teams in the area.
That Portage, right, I always say you always sometimes forget the win. Right, mm-hmm. But you always remember that loss.
Always.
That Portage game I saw was 64-61. What was the message to your team, and what did you learn from it that kind of helped you get on that winning streak that you're currently on now? Because that was the last game you guys lost.
Yeah. You know, it was Portage, a heck of a team. Mm-hmm. Man, they got some young kids that can play. And
well coached.
Yeah, well coached. Brian does a great job there. And, you know, we just told them, we said, hey, you can learn something from every loss. I think sometimes losing late in a season is a beneficial thing for a team going into a sectional. And we were winning that game by 7 with about 4 minutes to go. And I think our guys got kind of comfortable and lackadaisical. And, hey, I can go down and kind of take a shot I shouldn't, or, you know, try and make a fancy pass that I shouldn't. And, you know, so I think us going in the locker room saying, hey, these 3 or 4 possessions cost us a game. And, you know, they came out, and I think it showed. We played Griffith tough there in the sectional. Griffith had us kind of on the ropes a little bit late in the fourth quarter, and we were able to say, hey, let's get the right shot. Let's get a good possession. And we did it. And, you know, and then I think even Hanover Central, you know, in the final, we were up, you know, 15-17 in the fourth quarter. And the guy, you know, we told the guys, hey, we need to have that closing mentality. We can't just go out there and think it's over, because it's never over in the postseason. And they went out and continued to do everything right in the fourth quarter, and we were able to never really let them get back in the game there in the fourth quarter. So,
what excites you most as a coach? Is it a play? Is it when a teammate is being a great teammate? Right? Is it when just everyone's buying in? What's that one moment for you that you cherish the most? Like, damn, I enjoy coaching and doing what I love to do.
I think it's just, you know, that kid that isn't supposed to do it and does it. You know, it's. You know, I wasn't the greatest athlete on the floor when I played. It was always that I was going to do the dirty work. I was going to take a charge. I was going to, you know, whatever it took for my team. And so I think those are probably the moments that I enjoy the most in games. We got a kid on our team, Marion Turks, who he doesn't score. He averages 5 points a game. You know, he doesn't get the opportunities that some of these other guys get. But he's taken 16 charges on the season.
Wow.
He's 5'10". He plays our 5 spot. We ask him to guard, you know, 6'6" kids, and he's physical. He's playing with a ACL that's been torn for 2 years, and he just continues to battle. And never gives up. And that, so I think as a coach, that's the kind of moments that just mean the most to me, is to see a young man like that who's able to overcome some adversity in his life and, you know, on and off the floor and continue to do stuff that maybe all the fans don't see. But when we get in the film room or we sit down as coaches, you know, that's the first thing we talk about is, man, without him, you know, we would have lost that game. And so, you know, those are the little things that I get most excited about, games and, you know, sitting there watching film especially.
I think it's so dope to, for you, Coach, you get the guys to buy in, right? We live in a the landscape of basketball continues to change and evolve, right? Mm-hmm. The three-point shot is something that a lot of kids want to be the next Steph Curry, right? They want to come down and transition and pull up for a three instead of making the extra pass for a higher field goal percentage. What's the offense and your philosophy of basketball for you to, you know, obviously the success you've been having has been paying dividends. So what philosophy of basketball do you have for your kids when they want to just take a three and break the offense?
You know, man, I wish I could say I broke the mold on that one and I figured it out. But, you know, a lot of things that, you know, we tell these kids is, if we're going to take a three, let's take a three out of good offense. Let's get our feet in the paint. And,
yeah.
And they probably
Two
hear.
Feet.
Yeah, and they hear that. I'm sure practices, games 100 times a day. It's every time we go out for a game, it's on the board. Hey, feet in the paint. And, you know, so I think that's something. We give them a lot of freedom within our offense. We run a four-out motion style offense. So, you know, we try to explain to them we don't necessarily need you to be principled and where you're supposed to be on the floor. We just need you to understand that we have to fill holes on the floor to keep it balanced. And if you guys are doing that, you're going to have the freedom to put it on the floor and try and attack. And, you know, so it's something that they finally have really started to buy into when they've seen the success. I think we did it against Morgan Township, our last regular season game. Morgan, really good team. And we told them, you know, we hadn't been shooting the ball extremely well. I think we only hit two threes in that game. And we told them, hey, get your feet in the paint and something special happened. And they started to really see that. And it translated into the sectional as well. I think we had 5 3-pointers in 3 games in the sectional. And four of the five of them were off penetration and kick. But we really started to see the guys, you know, defense sliding out to take on that shooter. And we were able to make that pass to the block or make the pass to the, you know, weak side short corner and get a good look. So
that's the beauty. I think if most kids continue to practice basic fundamentals, they'll have a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the one leg, trying to finish through contact with one leg. Even when you get to the next level, unless you're really athletic and take off with one leg and can body someone, or I know I remember still to this day, my college coach was like, hey, man, you got to get 2 feet in the paint. Because every time you get in the paint, you see your shooters in the perimeter or corner, it opens up and makes you look like a better basketball player, and it makes the team overall look like a better basketball team.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about is – just getting them to understand there's more than just standing out on the perimeter.
Yeah.
You know, shooting.
Need some continuity.
Yeah, absolutely.
What pisses you off as a coach, right? We hear all the good things, and we know your blueprint, but let's get to the gritty of, like, what pisses you off most. And you get your kids to buy in, though. They could take that constructive criticism.
Yeah, I think if you ask my guys, they'd probably give you a laundry list of things that piss me off. But, you know, I'd say probably – it's just I think maybe the biggest thing is, yeah, I know, I know comment when I'm trying to coach them or, you know, I constantly tell them, you know, I just was telling them last week even, I said, you may know, but you're going to sit there and listen to me tell you because that's my job. And if you don't let me speak, then I'm only going to get more pissed off.
Yeah, so, period. Or I won't play you.
Yeah. And so, and we've had those moments, you know, sectional morning game at River Forest, you know, I pulled my 5 starters out halfway through the third quarter.
I love it.
You know, and put the bench guys in for, you know, for about 3 minutes. And, you know, it's just about getting them to understand it's more than just an individual game. We got to do things right. And if we want to, you know, continue to play at the next level, you know, we got to get the job done in those little situations, not throwing a lob when we're up 4. You know, it's hey, let's get good offense. Let's get a good shot. And so, but yeah, I mean, I would say it's little things that really piss me off a lot.
That pisses me off. It's like, hey, man, you haven't dunked all year, and now you want to throw a lob.
Exactly.
So I'm on the same type of time with that. Coach, talk about for the new listeners, right? I have so many people on, and everyone knows now your basketball pedigree, right? The success you've been having. But talk about your upbringing, right? You say you went to Indiana State, then went into the Army. If you could talk about
Navy.
Yeah. Apologize about
That's
that.
All right.
And then, yeah, just elaborate more on that.
Yeah, it was, you know, I'm from the region. I grew up in Hebron. Both my parents worked at the steel mills all their lives. So, you know, I've been around it. Played three sports as a kid. So, really something that, you know, sports was my life. I lived it from season to season. You know, then out of high school, kind of trying to chase the dream, thought, you know, hoping maybe I could play some college baseball. At the next level, so I decided to try and walk on at Indiana State. Had some friends going there, so I thought that's a good opportunity. Obviously didn't pan out for me with baseball, but, you know, did 2.5 years, and then 9/11 happened, and I felt like that maybe it was time for me to do something a little bit bigger than myself, and so decided me and one of my good friends decided to join the Navy.
What was that like?
It was...
I've never considered it, so hearing that, you know, just gives me goosebumps, right?
Yeah,
but
you know,
what was that?
I'll tell
like?
You what, it was, you know, when I was 18-year-old senior in high school, I'd have told you, I'll never join the military. It's not for me. It's, you know, my mom, my grandfathers, I have uncles that were in the Army, and I just said, no, that's not my thing. But 9/11 really woke me up to what this world could be, you know,
right,
on its worst day. And I just, so for me, I just wanted to do something that was bigger than me. And so when I made that decision, you know, I was an airplane mechanic, worked on ejection seats, for planes, got to work on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier for two tours.
Wow.
Overseas. And
that's sweet.
Just amazing. The job, the people that I was able to meet, and, still friendships to this day they're different friendships. You know, high school friends, college friends, you know, but the friendships you make in the military when you live with somebody for 9-12 months at a time, you know, in a little 4-foot by 4-foot section with 3 racks, and you just have that different relationship with them. And it was an amazing 4 years. You know, got to live in San Diego for 3 years.
Costly.
Costly.
Yeah.
My wife probably tell you she wishes we still lived in San Diego, but you know, eventually just kind of felt it was time for me to, you know, it was kind of a big decision. If I was going to stay in, I'd have to make the jump to a different job, and wasn't really sure if I want to go back to school at that time for that. So I decided if I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to go home and finish my degree. And you know, it was always I wanted to be a teacher so I could be a coach, and basketball was that passion that I had to coach. And so came back home and, you know, started working at the mill and went back to school at Valparaiso, and took me about 3 years, finished my degree. But during that time, coaching at Hebron, and then once I graduated, I was able to get on Coach Bolenbacher's staff over at Hanover Central for a couple years, and then
and then
got hired in at Lake Station. So,
man, the trend, right? So you was at Hebron, Hanover, Lake Station, right? What keeps you more engaged with, like, current events, right? You got a team that's diverse, right? Do you listen to, like, rap music or hip-hop? Like, what's your genre of music to – obviously, the kids love you, right? So you have to do something to get them to want to buy in every day and appreciate you for being you. So what's some of those things you do to keep up with the trend with the kids?
Well, they'll tell you my taste in music is terrible. You know, and I'll tell you their taste in music is terrible.
Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Which I think you and Coach Moore were talking about a few weeks back.
Right.
I remember hearing that on the podcast. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Rob's probably too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we, you know, I let them be them. You know, that's important to me is, you know, these kids are 17, 18 years old. And for me, hey, sometimes I'm going to deal with, you know, some of the music and just kind of, you know, look past it. And, you know, my assistant coaches are 22, 23, 24.
Oh, nice. That's
so
a beauty.
They're listening to that same music. So sometimes I just got to, you know, rant.
But how important was that for you though? Like just to be more, did you have to adapt and transition into that to be more open with them?
Early on, my first couple years at Lake Station, you know, I tried to, when I played, it was, you know, we were listening to the same thing.
What's some of your artists? Yeah, maybe some of the listeners that's listening.
Oh,
I know the region rats.
We're going way back. You know, I'm a rock guy. I like the Metallicas
And, I wish Jimmy was here. AC, Jimmy would love that. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, Metallica, Pearl Jam, those are my, I'm a 90s kid. So,
okay.
You know, I'm all about the good music back in the 90s. And so, yeah, that's, you know, to me, that's, you know, and I'm not against the rap music. You know, some of these guys are good nowadays.
Yeah, some of these guys are bad. I'm the first to tell you when the players come at Bosco, right? And, and they be trying to put me on game with the new rappers, and I'm just not interested, right? I just had Harry Styles on because I think he's a phenomenal artist. Mm-hmm. But I've learned to adapt and be open-minded, still stick to my principles, but I'm open to hear you guys' taste.
Yeah.
So I always wondered that with you and Lake Station and, like I said, being at Hebron and Hanover, different landscapes.
No, absolutely, yeah.
And so I applaud you for that.
Hey, I do my best. We you know, like – our playlist for warm-ups is usually, hey, I'm going to pick the first one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find, you know, that's important to me, is we're going to have some meaning behind what we come out to. And,
right.
And then I've kind of given them a little bit more leash and say, okay, well, I'm going to approve each song, but let's make it worthwhile.
They can run a mile with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's, outside of basketball, what's some hobbies you enjoy doing, and what's some sports teams? If you do watch other sports teams, what are they?
You know, I'm a football guy. I love the Bears. Love Notre Dame.
Nice.
You know, I'm a golfer. My dad was a big golfer. So, you know, for us, that's a family thing for us to golf together.
If you could do 9 holes or 18 holes every day, what would you do?
Oh, I'd do 18. I'd do 36 if my wife would let me. But I'm lucky to get 18 a week. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I'm a little bit of everything. You know, I love coaching my kids in softball. I got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. I coach both their softball teams in the spring and summer, and never thought I'd be a girl dad my whole life.
Good for
but
you.
But I've really enjoyed, you know, learning softball. You know, softball is different than baseball, and I've really had to kind of learn the game, and to be able to coach, you know, the girls is amazing, and doing it with friends of mine. And so, you know, I enjoy doing that stuff. Just nowadays, it's more whatever my kids are doing, that's what I'm doing. So that's the enjoyment in life, and you kind of roll with it.
Bob, well, I appreciate it. You know, thank you again for just coming on a podcast and talking about who you are, right, and your journey and everything that transitions back to basketball and the success you've been having means a lot. And thank you. Again, guys, I reached out to him via Facebook, and it was quick. Bob responded. I was very appreciative of that, and we was able to get it done this week. So thank you to eLearning, and shout out to the other region teams who are going down to regionals to compete. I believe we have Chesterton, Gary 21st Century, and Hammond Central.
And Couts.
Yep. So shout out to you guys, and continue to put on and represent the region. Thanks, Bob.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It up while your feet are stumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the dance floor. See, 'cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.